Anything she needs, she can call me. Don't worry about her, that's my seed, oh, that's all me. Just know if you cross her, then you cross me, cross me, cross me. If you
she ain't messing with no other man. Me and her are something different. I really need all you to understand. But nobody's coming close, and I don't ever want to run around. I spit my knees jumping in and out.
Very good morning to you, Mike McNamara, in for a expeditionary. An expeditionary version of All Marine Radio. Headed to the airport in Denver. I was too tired to record anything last night. I know, suck it up there, pussy boy. Just a note to the Colorado Department of Transportation. Well done on the roads, man. They've had about a foot of snow here. And driving to the airport at 5:52. Roads are pretty righteous. Sailing right along. After just an incredible day yesterday at the General Officer Summit and briefing the spouses of all the four-star generals that were at the event, and the woman who chaired it, who I met 6 months ago when Ellen Dunford brought me to the Pentagon, and that is the wife of the Chief of Staff of the Air Force. His name is David Goldfein. Her name is Dawn. She's just a great woman. When I did it at the Pentagon, when I got done, she was the first person out of her seat. And she came over and just told me how powerful it was and how great she thought it was. And so the funny story, post-traumatic winning in all of its glory is about 2.5 hours to 2 hours and 45 minutes with all the stuff that's in it. And that includes normally somebody introducing it and then somebody making closing comments with it. And so they told me I had 2 hours and 10 minutes to include somebody else speaking, you know, for 10 minutes, right? And then you give them a 5 minute break or something in there. And so I could get it down to an hour and 51 minutes. And I started rehearsing last Thursday. And so it gets introduced and I get ready to speak, and the Air Force Major Lasorda walks up to me and he says, "Hey, you've got an hour and 40 minutes." And I was like, I looked at him and I said, "You told me I had like 2 hours and 10 minutes." He goes, "I know, but they've got to get on a bus to go have lunch with the cadets." And he goes, "I'm sorry, but, you know, the guy before you went long." And I was like, "All right, do this thing fast." So I looked at him and said, there will be no questions. And they looked at me like, what? I said, that's right, you heard me. This is 3 hours crammed into an hour and 51 minutes, so nobody says a word. And so they laugh, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm not joking either. So I start, and as always, I mean, it's, I mean, for people that have never seen it, which is just about every audience, I mean, it's powerful. They've never seen anything like it, right? And let me just tell you, the Air Force, they are sick that their suicide number will go last year from 61 to this year. They're at 118 right now. So their suicide rate is on a pace to double, if not more. And they are just beside themselves about what are we doing and how do we, you know, what message are we not sending and how can this continue to happen at the rate it has and what is going on. So if you could imagine this message of the truth, right, with this message of hope that you can do it and you don't need a new program. And so it's funny, the guy who I've kind of got linked into by Dawn Goldfein through her husband's office, who called me, is a guy named Major General, Brigadier General Claude Tudor. Now, I tell a funny story about, I heard his name, and I thought, this is not going to go well for me, right? Claude Tudor, Air Force dude, I'm going to get the proverbial pat on the head and told to go away. Anything but. And he's been very, very interesting. So I'm sitting there watching his brief before me, and he's saying things like, we don't believe we need another program, right? We think that we need more engagement. We think we need this. And so I stood up when I started, I said, you're going to think that, right, General Tudor and I rehearsed this. We didn't. This is the first time I've met him, certainly never seen his brief, right? But I'm going to tell you that he is on the right track, okay? And I'm going to show you some more mature thoughts about where he's going, about who's got to be involved and the way they have to be involved. But all the tools that you have, right, most of them are there. And I would tell you that what you're missing is something like this that tells them the truth and challenges to be more. That where you have 2% of your population that's struggling, you take 98% and you that aren't and sick them on the 2%, and say, bring them back on your shield, and help them and love them and care about them, right? And let's get this done. Let's get after this, right? But it's about caring about people, about loving people, right? About communicating with people and telling the truth. And so, and I will say this, spouses, as usual, they get it because they know that we're faking it. They live with us, especially on the officer side of it, right? And the same thing with the senior enlisted side. If you stay in and make it a career, you know, you learn how to do it. And the way you don't do it is, you know, you're not emotional in public. You learn how to compartmentalize your life a little bit. Not a little bit, a lot. And you learn those skills. Now, the question is, do you wall yourself off from your spouse? Right? Do you do that? And most guys do. Now, I can't speak for female officers because I think female officers, while they have a lot of the worst qualities of male officers, they have the best qualities of women, and women tend to be better communicators. So I can't speak for them. I can speak for guys, though, and I can tell you that 90% of guys fake mental health. If I can just not cry during things, you know, that are memorial services and other things like that, then I'm okay. And everybody who listens to this program knows that that's not the case. And really, you know, the things they heard that, you know, made them smile were, you know, the term open kimono. Hey, if you want them to talk about their shit, you got to be honest. And, you know, I used General Furness as an example. And then the guy who presented with me again at the academy yesterday was a captain by the name of Jacques Lamoureux. And Jacques is, I've known Jacques since he was 11. And for those of you who listen, we did it in August at the Air Force Academy, and he introduced it then. And he tells his story about struggling as a teenager, and how he went and sought help to deal with his issues, and now, you know, what he's, you know, he wound up going to the Air Force Academy that initially rejected him for those reasons, and he wound up getting in, now teaches there and had a great career. But he talked about, you know, even in the Air Force, going and talking to somebody at mental health, that that went into his record, that in a day and age when the Air Force was looking for special operators, he, you know, he's a hockey player, right? So he's a physically fit guy. And they would not interview him because of that. And he said, so here I'm doing everything you're telling me to do, and then in my career, I get punished. And it's like, and I'm handling it, right? It's not like if you interviewed me, you would see any job performance degradation, or, you know, if you went down deeper. So I tell the truth, but I guarantee you that you have people in your community, in the soft community, that struggle with worse issues than I got, and they're lying about it, and that's okay. So it's pretty interesting, you know, the story Jacques tells. And then he talks about how he, as an instructor, makes his struggle part of, you know, what he teaches, and how students come up to him after class when they see him around campus and say, hey, sir, could I talk to you? And they share their story. So, I mean, and then, so it was supposed to go till 10:50. And then they got on the bus. Major Lasorda comes up to me at like 10:45 and says, hey, you can go to 11:05. So I said, I can finish by then. So I may be, you know, I'm maybe 5 minutes away from 11:05, getting ready to try to finish up. And he says, can I have your attention? He says, he looks at me and goes, Matt, can you come back at 1? And I said, yeah, I can hang out. And he said, okay, we're going to stop here, because they wanted, I had to not show a couple things because, you know, because of time. And Mrs. Goldfein, Dawn, said, I'd like to see that, those things. And then, so he said, we'll convene at 1. So off they went to lunch. I hung out with him and had lunch. And then at 1 o'clock, we reconvened. And we went from 1 o'clock to 3:15 with me finishing up and then just a series of questions and answers for another hour and a half. And it was awesome. It was awesome. So we'll see where this goes, but the consensus was, oh my God, the power of this, you know, that data that, you know, that is coming out of the 2nd Marine Division, and we need something like this, right, to reverse this terrible trend of the Air Force. So it was, to say the least, it was an awesome day. And again, I emailed Dawn Goldfein in July. When I saw, late July, I saw the story of, you know, I saw the story about the Air Force's suicide rate. And I told her, I said, hey, I want to help. And, you know, since the last time you and I talked, let me tell you where I've been, let me tell you what I've done, and I think I can help you. And so anyway, they were so excited that in the midst of a lot of bleak news, that here's a ray of sunshine, and what they like is the down-to-earth way that it's presented, right? My unique style of communication. And again, I always give the Air Force people a hard time about the F word. I said, hey, I gotta apologize before we start, but in a couple of the videos you're gonna see there's some profanity. And I get told that Air Force people do not use profanity. And then I give them a tough time, like, and I said, look, and I don't know how you do that, but that's what I get told. I'm not sure why all these people tell me you cannot use the F word around the Air Force. And I don't know why they say it to me specifically, but they do. Or like, I don't know why they pick on me. But they do. And so I just want to apologize because in a couple of videos, you're going to hear the F word. And they're like, oh, well, we've heard it before. I'm like, okay, don't everybody start acting all butch and all just because we're in public. Right? So I just wanted to apologize. And then they're like, and they're laughing, right? They're like, who is this dude, right? So I said, now you're going to hear a guy named Matt Kiker. He's a Marine. And you're going to hear his story. And then you're going to hear another Marine sergeant, a guy named Parker, who's a MARSOC guy, so we don't use his last name. And you're going to hear Parker, and they both kind of cuss. And there might be a few more words, but nothing too bad. And they're like, oh, thanks for the warning, Mac. And so, a great, great day. And so I left there, and they were we took a team picture, which is pretty cool. And cool that they wanted to, right? And I met a woman who lives here in Denver that Tim Lynch introduced me to. Her name is Nora. Nora's Finnish, right? Yeah, she speaks the Finnish. Like, and that's a crazy language. So anyway, Nora is the woman that put on the weekend event that Tim Lynch went to. And so Tim, you know, went to it. And I think he went skydiving there. They were camping. They did some shooting. Right, hanging out, you know. In the outdoors, they got him someplace. I don't know where Tim went, but, you know, he went someplace. It might have been here in Colorado. And, so he was telling me, he said, you know, those things are good, but when you leave, it's a downer, right? You've had this good weekend, and then you leave, and you know, you're not around veterans anymore, and you don't leave with anything. And Tim was adamant, dude, you've got to call Nora, okay? You've got to call Nora, and post-traumatic winning fits in that thing so perfect, it's a joke, that people would have a tool, right? People would have a tool to leave with. You know, that would be... that'd be fantastic. So I'd messaged Nora. I wanted her to come to the thing at the Air Force Academy. But then as it got closer, I thought, you know, everybody's screened. She's Finnish. Still not. They might not let her in. So And then it snowed like a foot and a half here. So they had a school day, right? School was out. There was a travel advisory. And actually, I mean, the roads weren't bad, you know, when I got here. But the good part about the travel advisory was that there wasn't too many people on the road, so there wasn't any traffic, which has been awesome. So bombing around Denver with no traffic. Yeah. And the road's pretty nice. Yeah, my North Dakota driving skills... boom. Okay. Right. Single most important driving skill. Go slow. Four-wheel drive means you're going to have all four wheels skidding if you're going too fast. How do I know that? Police and highway patrolmen told me that all the time in North Dakota when I would interview them during weather stuff. Hey, you got any travel advice for everybody? Yeah. Slow down. So, anyway... so I texted Nora. I said, hey, Nora, probably not a good idea that you come over here because you got to drive over, right, Pikes Peak area, whatever pass. So I said, why don't I, when I'm done here, I'll drive over and I'll do post-traumatic winning at your office or wherever you work. She said, well, just come to my house and do it. So, drove over and, sat at Nora's kitchen table and did post-traumatic winning. And you know, it's really interesting. Like, I've spoken to Nora a couple times and, you know, she deals with her own trauma in her life, right? Which is why she wanted to do this. And then the experience of helping veterans and hearing their stories has only progressively deepened her desire to do this as she's helped them. So I told her, I said, you do post-traumatic winning. And so I don't know if you're listening to this, but maybe I'll put it in a post. But you can go back. I don't know which graph I use, but there's a graph that I use for post-traumatic winning now that I'm into visual representations. And so imagine the Dow Jones Industrial graph. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average is kind of going sideways. That's your life before trauma, right? So it's going on your like normal, regular life, happy, plain, you know, up and down, bouncing. And then trauma enters your life, right? And so if you can imagine the graph in your head, draw a line through the center of that north and south thing before trauma. And that's kind of like the trend line of your life, right? I know it's going to get complicated here, so fucking pay attention. Then the Dow Jones Industrial Average drops, right, on the graph. Hits bottom when this traumatic event, you know, rocks your life. And then, you know, after the immediacy of the event, you know, life continues. But you have this thing that you're dealing with. And so the Dow Jones Industrial Average starts to rise again. And then it begins to go sideways again. But it's not at the same level you were before because you have this thing in your life, right? And so now you're going sideways again, up and down, at a plane lower than the previous trend line. You tracking? Now draw a line through that. So when people teach endurance, and that's what the VA and the DOD teach, you know, when they teach endurance, that's as good as it gets. So through talk therapy and through, you know, medication if needed, that's going to be your life as you deal with this for the rest of your life. And so post-traumatic winning believes in transformation, in case you haven't seen the video yet. If you haven't seen the post-traumatic winning video, check that thing out because it's the same thing, right? A video representation. So now what post-traumatic winning does is, right, you're going sideways at the diminished version of you, okay? And then you go see post-traumatic winning. And now your life is going to change, right? It's going to go up some by simply understanding the truth that there's nothing wrong with you, that you're okay, and that you can live a great life, okay? But these are the things you have to accept, and this is the way you have to live. And what that involves is everything but the third goal. If you do everything but the third goal, your line goes up a little bit. And it approaches where, in my opinion, where you used to be. It approaches that line. But if you'll execute the third goal of post-traumatic winning, and if you'll give, which is the essence of post-traumatic winning, if you'll give your knowledge to somebody else, right, and this traumatic wisdom along with your experiences, and if you'll touch their life and change their life, guess what? You change your life. If you'll do that, and then now your life goes up beyond what it was originally, as you give and your joyful experiences overwhelm your traumatic experience, and you do this all the time, and it's a part of your life. And so it goes, the Dow Jones Industrial Average goes past your initial trend line, better than what you used to be, and goes up, 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 and then starts to go sideways, right? And so And so now draw another line through there. So there's essentially three lines on the graph. There's the initial line going sideways. There's a lower line, you know, let's just say half that line, right, in terms of where it is vertically on the graph. There's a line between that line, right, and let's just say there's a line between that line and the top line, which is after trauma, embracing post-traumatic winning, but not giving. You can do that. Don't do that, though, all right? And then there's a third line that's higher than all the lines, right? And that is your life if you'll give, if you'll embrace all the tenets of post-traumatic winning. And so, all right, that's a very long-winded explanation of the graph. You could look at the picture and see what I'm talking about in about 2 seconds, maybe less. So we're talking, and this is right at the start, and she sees the graph, and she looks at me, and she said, "That's my life." She said, "I love this." She said, because I didn't, she said, "I didn't know. I didn't know the power of giving and helping," right? She said, "Nobody does, right? Until you do it. Until you do it." And I said, "Yep." But it's so cool when somebody else, right, when somebody else, right, has kind of traveled the same path that Nora's traveled and that I've traveled, and then sees, right, she sees the power of it. And so she's sitting there watching it. And then we get to a slide that says, and what I do with everybody is put your hand up and keep it up if you've been affected by one of these things. Right? And combat's the last one, and it's the least significant. The fewest people are affected by that. And then she looked at it, and this made me happy too, because I could tell she was paying attention. She looked at me, and she said, you don't have one important thing on that list. And I said, "What is it?" She said, "The loss of a loved one." She said, "That's one of the things that I hear that, that really throws veterans. When they lose somebody, right? They're struggling in their lives, and then they lose somebody who's absolutely vital to their life. And so it made me smile. I'm like, yes, right? And so I, you know, she and I did post-traumatic winning, and are hopefully, I will say hopefully, we're going to do business together. And so that all these guys who come to these events are gonna benefit from post-traumatic winning. They're gonna go home with this incredible tool in their pocket, and a new mission in life. That I have a mission to change the lives of others, and I have the tool to use to do that. And how absolutely awesome is that? And so we're talking afterwards, and she looks at me, she goes, "Max," she goes, "this is unbelievable." She says, "I love this." And she said, I can envision it, and I can see them and how excited they would be, you know, to hear this message and to go home knowing that I'm going to change the lives of people, you know, in my life. And so, yeah. And so then, you know, I leave Nora's house. She did not show her steps, by the way. And I was wearing like loafers, and I'm like, "Nora, like, what the hell, man?" And her son says, he's a teenager. He's like, "I'll do it tomorrow." I'm like, "Dude, don't do it tomorrow. Now that I've got snow all over my shoes, do not even think about doing it tomorrow. Leave that stuff as it is. Everybody has to pay." He started laughing. And then after that, I went to have dinner with a battle buddy, Gary Kling. He's been on All Marine Radio. He was the 1st Marine Division Air Officer. He's an F-18 guy. He's 1st Marine Division Air Officer in 2004, where we were in Ramadi. And his call sign, Static. Static's just an awesome dude. He's a funny guy, man. And but you know, one of the things that I enjoy about my friends is, especially, and Static was one of them. You know, he used his sense of humor, right, to ease the pain in Iraq, and not too many people know how to do that. To be that gracious and I don't know if cool's the right word under pressure, but it might be. It might be. Certainly in Static's case it is. But went and had dinner with his wife, watched the end of the baseball game. What is up that nobody can win a home game? Like, has that ever happened in World Series history? So game 7, and the home team's lost every home game. Houston gonna host its 4th home game. They've lost all 3 of their games in Houston. And they weren't close either. So game 7 tonight, which will be interesting. But Stack's wife Kelly made lasagna and I was hungry, and but just had a great night. Slept in a nice bed, and so there's no warmer place than in the company of my battle buddies and good friends, and Static's one of them. So very cool. Got to meet his daughter and hang out and talk you know, one of the interesting things is, and his wife asked me, do you think that your message would be appropriate for high school students? I said, I do. I need to produce the version of it because high schools tend to be so skittish about this kind of stuff. So I said, but I'm doing that. And I'll do it with my daughter. I've talked to F-18 man and his daughter about getting it into her high school. And so it's interesting. And I also had an epiphany last night. How do you write a kid's book that talks about a dinosaur who sees something bad and who can't forget about it, but that it's okay, and the dinosaur knows it's okay because the dinosaur's mom or grandma or grandpa sat down with him and told him, you know, when you see bad things, you're not going to forget about them. So there's a children's book I got to write now. So I'll add that to the list. We'll officially begin the show. Yeah, no kidding, right? We'll officially begin the show. And the United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to Don Goldfein, who was absolutely awesome yesterday, and to all the women that were part of it, the spouses of general officers and the staff of the Air Force Academy that shows up to watch. Just want to wish you all the best of luck. And hopefully our paths cross in the future. But thank you for your graciousness yesterday and the wonderful discussion. And so this is dedicated to them. It's dedicated to Nora, who I had a chance to meet yesterday, who's doing great things for veterans. And hopefully our paths are going to cross on a regular basis, and that's exciting. And also, a great friend of mine, Gary Kling, who we spent a year together in Ramadi, and have stayed in touch, and he's Static's a good dude, and he's one of those adults in the room. And I talk about those people all the time. You go to a meeting and you're looking for people that are problem solvers, that are professionals, that can do it under pressure. And Statics, he's one of those guys. And I got a chance to meet his wife, Kelly, who makes absolutely incredible lasagna. And so this is dedicated to all those people that were part of my day yesterday.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute.
and we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
It's cloudy in Quantico, 60 degrees. Camp Lejeune is raining at 70. 29 Palms, colder still than yesterday. It is clear, still dark, and 38 degrees out the desert. Wow. In at Camp Pendleton, it is clear, dark, and 51. At Camp Smithen, Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 71. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 73. In Ramadi, in Iraq, it is sunny and 75. So a mild day in Al Anbar. And early in the evening in Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 79. So that is a look at your weather. And that may be it for me today. So if you don't hear me again, that means I got on my flight and didn't have time to record anything else. So Andy Milburn was my guest yesterday, and nobody heard it because it went to dead air and everybody went someplace else. So you'll hear Andy Milburn today in a pretty long interview. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.